Sivagavanuvacha. Kalosmi lokakshaya krit pravitto. Lokan samahartum iha pravitta. Lokan samahartum iha pravitta. Rite pitvam na bhavishanti sarve. Rite pitvam na bhavishanti sarve. Yevastita pratyanikeshu yodha. Yevastita pratyanikeshu yodha. Translation. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain." Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds. And I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Arjuna knew that Krishna was his friend and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was puzzled by the various forms exhibited by Krishna. Are there people here that don't know English? Everybody here knows English? Who knows English? Raise your left hand if you know English. Okay. Therefore he asked further about the actual mission of this devastating force. It is written in the Vedas that the Supreme Truth destroys everything, even the Brahmanas, as stated in the Katha Upanishad 1.2.25. Yasya brahmacha kshatramcha ube bhavata odana mityur yasyo pasechanam ya ita vidayatrasa. Eventually all the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and everyone else are devoured like a meal by the Supreme. This form of the Supreme Lord is the all-devouring giant. And here Krishna presents himself in that form of all-devouring time. Except for a few Pandavas, everyone who was present on that battlefield will be devoured by him. Arjuna was not in favor of the fight and he thought it was better not to fight. Then there would be no frustration. In reply, the Lord is saying that even if he did not fight, every one of them would be destroyed, for that was his plan. If Arjuna stopped fighting, they would die in another way. Death could not be checked, even if he did not fight. In fact, they were already dead. Time is destruction, and all the manifestations are to be vanished, to be vanquished by the desire of the Supreme Lord. That is the law of nature. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of the Bhagavad Gita as it is in the matter of the universal form, the 11th chapter, 32nd verse of Bhagavad Gita as it is, spoken today in Lanesia, ISKCON, Johannesburg, South Africa, in the presence of C.C. Gornitai, Nitai Gaur, C.C. Nitai Gauranga, C.C. Nitai Gaura Hari. Okay, now I'm Srila Prabhupada and all the assembled devotees. So the universal form was showing everything being destroyed. So Arjuna wanted to know, who are you? What is this form? So he said, "Kalosmi, I'm time. Time I am." Maybe it's happening gradually, hour by hour, day by day. But with every sunrise and sunset, we're getting older. Flowers are getting older. You know, Once we were looking at some ants on the roof in Mayapur, and they were migrating with all their eggs and things to some other place. And Prabhupada said, look, we're looking down at them and thinking, what insignificant creatures. They're only living for some days. But just like that, the higher residents in the higher planets are looking down at the human beings and saying, what insignificant people. They only live for a few days. Because by their calculation, we're only living days. One of their days is six of our months. Their night is six of our, is also 6 months. So one day and night is one of our years. So we live 100 years, that means we're living 100 days by their calculation. So we're like ants. Even elephants live longer than some men. So Arjuna was revealed that Krishna is telling him, if you should fight, not for winning or not for losing, just for me. But here he's saying, even if you don't fight, time will finish everyone. Everyone who's born, 100% they're going to die. And Krishna said, everyone who dies, they're going to be born again. Of course, that's if we're in the material world. If we go back to the spiritual sky, then Navnubanti Mahatmana Sansaring Panam Gata. We don't come back again. So time, Krishna is this Kala, time factor. So this 11th chapter, very interesting. I was in South America, in Quito, Ecuador, and I saw one of the very big cathedrals during the Inquisition in time, whatever they called it, that when the Spanish took over, when colonized South America. Many places in the world were colonies. South Africa was a colony also, right? Under different, last under the British. And India was colony. Most of it under the British, some part under Portuguese, some small parts under French. So like that, many places around the world were under the different kind of colonization. So then one thing they wanted to do was convert everybody to their religion. So this gigantic painting in the cathedral with the Jesus and Gabriel, the archangel, angel, and it was the final judgment. Also like destruction. So Gabriel was blowing some horn or trumpet, and it showed that skeletons were crawling out of the grave. And as they were crawling out, it was like one of those in the medical anatomy classes, you see all the muscles, like the muscle of a human being or the bones of a human being or the skin. So this was like head was already skin, maybe up to the waist was muscles, and waist down was skeleton, bones. Like as they were crawling out, the flesh was coming back on. This was how they were teaching them the theology. And because we happen to have a different theology, we believe that the Atma is eternal. And the body, we take so many births. So which body will come back? That's why we generally burn the bodies after time. Because they're teaching the philosophy like this, that you'll die, you'll be remaining in the earth for billions of years until the final judgment, and then you'll crawl out of grave and come back to the flesh, and then they were sorted out. Some were sent down to hell to suffer, and some were in purgatory and some were going up to heaven. So I just was after being in Krishna consciousness for many years to see that is this the philosophy? It's quite unusual. But that's how they were explaining to the tribal people. So it was like that destruction in reverse, because they're coming back from the grave. That's why they don't like cremation. They think they know how the bones will come back. But Bhagavad Gita is telling us that we leave this body, and then the body is decomposing. So any of the body is not going to remain. It's either eaten by worms and maggots and things like that. Although you burn it, it becomes ashes. Or the Rosicrucians, they hang the body up in a tower and let the vultures come and tear the flesh off it. So considering the options, worms, vultures, or fire. Fire is a little bit better. And it also frees you from the attachment to the body. You can go on right away. But and somehow or another, they're training the people. I don't know if that's the philosophy now, but that's how they were presenting to these Incas and those mountain people of the South America. So everybody has different concepts, but here Krishna is giving the concept of time being a destroyer. At the same time, if we are a devotee of Krishna, then like the Pandavas, they didn't die. Not in that battle. Because they had a different plan. Eventually we'll die, but we'll go back to Godhead. So this is... you don't have to wait billion of years to the end of the universe and then have the... We can go back right away. That's the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That if you surrender to Krishna, sarva-dharman parityaja mam ekam saranam vraja aham tang sarva-papebhyo mokshayami mam sucha. Without He'll free you, He'll bring you back to Him. We don't have to wait. Otherwise, you go up to Satyaloka and wait till the end of Brahma's life, trillions and trillions of years. That's the other option. So Lord Chaitanya has given us a fast track to get back to Krishna by engaging ourselves in Krishna's service. Then we can also continue to serve Krishna eternally. So this is very interesting. So here Krishna is revealing all these secrets about His existence. Although He's just playing, acting as a friend of Arjuna. He is a friend, no doubt. And He's looking like a human being. Actually, human beings look like Him. But that's what also the Bible says. I've heard that humans are made in the image of God. So that also we are human beings, and Krishna have a similar form. Only thing, Krishna's form is Sachidananda, Vigraha, eternal blissful knowledge, and where our bodies are temporary, they're going to be destroyed. Krishna is never destroyed. This 11th chapter is a very powerful chapter. When Parvati asks Shiva, what is the meaning of this chapter? What is the glories, the mahatmya, the glories of this chapter? And he said, well, there's a history. See, once there was a Brahmin and he used to like to go to the holy places. He'd visited many Tirthasthans, holy places, and get purified. So he was traveling. So he came into this one village and he asked some people, is there anywhere to stay here? Because it's getting to be night and I'm traveling pilgrimage, visiting holy places. So they told him, yes, there's a guest house, you can stay there. Why the laugh? So he went to the guest house, and there the guest house, the manager showed him around, so here's, you have your private room, here's where the toilets are. You see, but after a certain time, we lock the door, and then nobody can come out till the morning. I come and open for your safety. So I said, hope you have a comfortable night, sweet dreams. So why is such a story? Why everybody laughing around here? So he sat down and read the 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita. That was his daily practice. He was a devotee of 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita, so he read it. Took his rest. Then he woke up in the morning to take his shower. The whole guest house had been packed with people, but now he found it's all empty. Only he was there. But the door was still locked. So where did everybody go? So he took his shower, chanted his 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Then that manager came and unlocked the door, opened it up, and he saw him. Oh! Oh! It's you! You're here! Yes, I'm here. Where am I supposed to be? I'm locked in. Of course. Something's funny around this place. And then he started walking down the street. Suddenly one brahmana came running up to him, fell at his feet, grabbed his feet. Save my son! Save my son! You're the only one who can save my son. Promise me you'll save him. I don't know what's your son? Where is he? Where is your son? How can I save him? I don't know anything about this. No, you're the only one. Please tell me. What's something really strange here? Where is your son? What is this? What is this guest house? Why are people all looking at me and funny way and laughing and some people running? And what's the situation here? Okay, this actually I have to reveal to you a secret of our village. See the hill next door to the village? On that hill lives a rakshasa, a man-eater. He used to come down in the village and just capture some boy, some girl, some man, some woman, take back and eat for dinner. So everyone was living in fear. Who's he going to grab next? So fearful. Wouldn't you be fearful if people walking around eating other humans? Yeah, it's kind of weird. So the village leaders went to him and said, look, can we do something where you don't eat our people? He said, okay, I'll make you a deal. You build me a guest house. Anyone who comes and stays in the guest house, I'll just eat them. That was the guest house I was staying in. Yes. And then he ate my son last night. Oh, please, why didn't he eat me? That's the secret. You're the only one who can save my son. You're the one. The one. Why me? Why? What's special about me? You chant 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita. I went to him. I asked him, give me back my son. You promised you won't eat my children. But you ate him. Well, I just only ate the guest. Yes, he had a guest that by accident he went to the house instead of our house. And he went to get him out and he got locked inside. And you came and ate him. So give him back. You promised not to eat our children. Give him back. He said, well, what can I said I just eat the people in the guest house. Why was he in the guest house, you know? And you promised you wouldn't eat our children. It was an accident. Now give him back. Well, listen. There's somebody in the guest house who reads 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita. And as a result, I couldn't eat him. Anyone who reads 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita cannot be eaten by rakshasas. It's a good thing to remember if you happen to be in a rakshasa area. So if you get him to chant 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita over a bowl of water and pour it on me, then I'm actually here a rakshasa because of a curse. I will be freed from the curse. Curse, what kind of curse? You see, I was a farmer and I was plowing my field with a bullock. And next to my farm there was someone crying out, "Help me! Save me!" Someone's crying out, "Help me, save me." Maybe he's in trouble. Let me just finish my field and I'll go and help him. Like really tamagun. Somebody's crying for help. You didn't want to finish your field. Go help him, right? It's an emergency. He didn't even go to look. He said, "I just got a little bit. I'll finish the field and I'll go." Then some rishi came and said, "You didn't save him. You let him suffer. He had broken down his leg. He was lying down. He was being attacked by vultures because he was crippled. If you would have gone there, you would have saved him. But instead, you're still plowing your field. You're a heartless person. So because you're a heartless person, I curse you to be a rakshasa, to be a man-eater." And the rishi left. So then that's how I became a rakshasa. But I begged him for forgiveness. I said, "I'm just a little bit slow. I was going to go there. I'm sorry." So then he told me, "Okay, if you get someone to pour 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita water on your head, you'll be freed." But so far I haven't found anyone who's chanting 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita. None of our devotees went there preaching. This happened, of course, a long time ago. So please come and save my son, save him, save the only one. Okay, I'll do whatever I can. So they went with him, they climbed up the mountain. There was Rakshasa. So they chanted 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita on a bowl, then poured it over the Rakshasa. Then the Rakshasa was liberated. He got a divine form. And out from the Rakshasa came the son of the Brahmin. So that Brahmin said, "Please come home." Meanwhile, Vishnu Dutas came from the spiritual world in a Puspa Biman, in a spiritual airplane. And the son and the Rakshasa liberated souls got on it. The father said to the son, "Where are you going? Come on. Your mother's waiting for you." "But Dad, I'm going back to Godhead. Isn't this wonderful? I'm going back to Godhead." No, but not now. We love you. You got a pet cat, you got a dog, you got, your little sister. You got to help us in the house, clean the toilets and, all the important jobs around the house. You can go later." "But Dad, if I go later, now it's special, I'm going now. What's the guarantee that it'll happen again later?" "No, but your mother, everyone waiting for you, we love you, come on." "Listen Dad, I'll tell you what, you chant the 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita, I'll be waiting for you in the spiritual world, and then I'll be waiting after you chant it, then you come up and join me too. Bye, see you Dad." Ooh, ah, ooh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And they went back to the spiritual world. So powerful is 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So what do you think of that? I was thinking about it. that how by not helping this other person, that person got cursed to become a rakshasa, got a really horrible birth. Another thing that Brahman, that person that cursed him, the rishi, he said also that, you see, for a Vaishnava, say he's being attacked by a lion or by some robbers or something, you go to save a Vaishnava. If you happen to get killed while you're saving the Vaishnava, you go back to Godhead. That's how wonderful Vaishnavas are. And the best thing is don't get killed. But the Vaishnavas are so sacred that going to save them is considered the greatest sacrifice. And so here was a person, he wasn't helping at all. So that's why we have, Prabhupada used to say that we have Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness mahoshuddhi. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, NHEO SODI MAYA NASHI BARO LAGI HARI NAMA MAHA MANTRA LAU TUMI MAGI. Quoting Lord Chaitanya, that I have brought to you the Harinam Mahamantra, this is a special medicine. This medicine cures the disease of Kali Yuga. So please take this medicine, beg for it. How many of you have taken the Harinam Mahamantra, are chanting it? Those two back there? You're chanting Hare Krishna? So if you chant Hare Krishna, that's a great medicine. It takes us, purifies us. So Prabhupada said, if you have the Harinam mantra, you have the Krishna consciousness, and you don't give it to others, you let them suffer, then it's very offensive, very cruel. Like if there was a doctor, he has all the medicines, and there's a patient there, and the patient says, "Help me, help! I don't like you." Doctor's not supposed to do. Doctor's supposed to help everyone, whether irregardless of caste, color, creed, anything. Doctor takes an oath of, what's it, Hippocrates. Hippocratical. Something like that, anyway. They take an oath that they're dedicated to helping everyone. They're not supposed to ever harm anyone. They're supposed to help them. So like that, we're all spirit. Prabhupada wanted us all to be spiritual doctors. We got Krishna consciousness and want to help people. We can help them spiritually by giving them the Maha Mantra, by giving them Krishna consciousness. How many have been able to help someone else? You like, anyone be able to help someone else? Do you feel good if you see somebody chanting? How many were helped by somebody else? How did you feel after getting some Krishna consciousness? Do you like it? So each of these chapters of Bhagavad Gita has got some special powers. Seventh chapter can release people also from some lousy birth. Take them back. 11th, freeing one from curses and miserliness. So we want to be instruments, nimitta matrena, sabhya sachin. We We want to be instruments in the hands of Krishna. To give people Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada went to the West and went all over the world, came here to South Africa to give people Krishna consciousness. He's acting as an instrument in the hand of his spiritual master, the Guru Parampara, Krishna. And thus he was able to awaken so many people. So we are in his sampradaya, we're still following, trying to awaken people, trying to help them. Trouble is some people, they don't know they're sick. They don't understand that they're sick and that there's a cure for their sickness. So, right now around the world there's all this talk about the Asian bird flu. They say that maybe it can become a pandemic, where the whole millions and millions of people could die because it could mutate and become something dangerous for the human beings. Some people are dying in some countries and they're trying to contain it. And they're looking for what is the cure. But one thing, everyone dies. But we have the cure. Bhagavad Gita gives us what's the cure. People chant Hare Krishna. If they serve Krishna, Manmana Bhavad Bhakto Madhyachi Mang Namaskuru Mang Evaisasi Satyante Pratijano Priyoshime. You bow down, be my devotee, think of me, bow down to me, worship me, then I promise that you'll come to me. So we have this medicine. I was telling one businessman in Hong Kong, that he's an Indian businessman, he came to see me, then I was preaching somehow in the talk, I was saying that you can go back to Krishna, back to God. I said, I don't want to go back to God. I have money. What will I do there? Chant Jap all day? Now I'm enjoying life. But then his wife was there. She said, no, I want to go back. She was more pious. And a surprise. I didn't expect an Indian to say that. I don't know if he's joking, but I seem pretty serious. But that's why, see, Lord Chaitanya was so merciful that he just taught us the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, which reveals Krishna's pastimes. That people on the spiritual, they don't sit there chanting japa, they're rather having leelas with Krishna. So many leelas, Damodar leela, Sankirtan leela, Gopis Leela, so many here, what's this, Panchatattva Leela, you got here, Gajari Kanda Leela. Lord Chaitanya was so powerful, he got the animals to chant. Prabhupada said, at least we get the human beings to chant. We may not be so powerful, we're not so powerful like Lord Chaitanya, get animals. If you go in the jungle, we want the tigers and everyone to kiss each other like a chant. We may not be able to do that. That's most likely we won't. But human beings, if we get them, so much hatred amongst different human beings for different reasons. But if they chant Hare Krishna, practice Krishna consciousness, they lose the hatred. People say universal brotherhood, but Prabhupada was saying, how you can have brotherhood if you don't have a common father? So we accept that there's one common father. You may call by different names, but so people can realize that. It's by chanting the names of God. So like that, Lord Chaitanya, he did this. Like there's a nice picture in the world, Sankirtan, getting everyone to chant and dance. And people are feeling so blissful. He sent Nityananda Prabhu back to Bengal when he went to Jagannath Puri. He said, I come to Jagannath Puri now. Who's going to preach in Bengal? You should go and finish what we started. So he sent him back. And then on the way, when Lord Nityananda got to Panihati first, then Raghunath Das told him, "Oh, you're here. Have you eaten yet?" Because Raghunath Das is the cook for Lord Chaitanya. He was cook for Krishna and Krishna Lila. So he was first worrying about, is he fed? And no, we haven't eaten. Go take a bath in the Ganges, come back, I'll have a feast for you all. In 1 hour, 25 preps. Super cook. I don't know how many preps we'll have here today, but it may take a little longer for them to cook. I'm sure it'll be nectar. So they came back, they had prasadam, then they started doing kirtan. And this kirtan was going on day and night for 3 months. But when it first started, Lord Nityananda was sitting down and was looking over the devotees. Every look at, they could feel very much ecstatic. So you're doing chanting here, and Nitai Gaura Hari, they're looking at you. So I hope you all feel ecstasy. But Nityananda was looking and they're feeling ecstasy. Then Nityananda got up and he started to dance. But Lord Chaitanya said there's 5 places he's always at, where the Mother Sachi cooks, where the Gadadhar Prabhu makes tamarind chutney, like that. One of the places is in Panihati. But also wherever Nityananda dances. So Nityananda's dancing is out of this world. Because he's also the source of all the Vishnus. He's source of Brahadev, who's the husband of the earth. So when he was dancing, the earth was getting earth tremors, like little miniature earthquakes. Ecstasy. Having Nityananda's lotus feet on her back. So people feeling earthquakes. But not destructive ones, just tremors. So there was such a nice dancing. And then because Lord Chaitanya came and Nityananda said, "There's Lord Chaitanya here." Everyone's looking. He said, "You can't see him. Because he's actually in South India, but I can see him. He's come here spiritually. But if you want, he's wearing a special garland. You can smell him. But this garland doesn't grow in Bengal. This flowers grow only in South India. It came right up where they're saying, so they're all smelling. And somebody smelled Lord Chaitanya's garland. Oh! Fell on the ground, rolling in ecstasy. And another one smelled like this. Everyone is getting like love gas. Love perfume. It's reaching them and they're all getting ecstatic and rolling. So this kirtan is when people would join the kirtan. That's how they're, just they join and they'd forget their wife, family, everything. For 3 days they'd be there, be chanting. Then, oh, I gotta go home. I was supposed to buy the bread, you know, whatever. Fry the rice. And then they went back home, got the, you know, the people said, "What happened?" But they're like smiling because there's so much ecstasy from chanting. "So what happened to you?" "Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." "They're doing kirtan over there at Panihati. Hari bol, Hari bol, what a kirtan." "Oh, but I gotta go home." So he spread this by flooding everyone with love of Krishna through the kirtan. Then they introduced the philosophy later. So I think people in South Africa also like kirtan. Or they like singing and dancing. What's that? Oh, then we got to take questions right now because I'm really... Oh, so many. But I have to leave to catch my flight. How do you know that the soul or spirit exists with evidence? Well, empirical evidence, Prabhupada asked our scientists, who said it's very hard to prove the existence of God, but it's much similar, easier to prove existence of the soul. But so far I don't know if any of our scientists have done it. But we can realize ourselves that we exist. That's the easiest, it's called self-realization. So we practice like that. the Bhagavad Gita, then we can actually experience ourselves. Like you feel ecstasy when you chant Hare Krishna, that doesn't come from the body. It's a higher spiritual happiness. So that's one way to convince yourself that there's some happiness that comes from beyond the body. Because if you're the body, the body means that you eat something, it tastes good, feel happy. But then you stub your foot or you eat something that's by mistake in Mayapur, some devotee poured all the, not my oil, but all the pujari's oil, 35 liters of oil in the Charanamrita. And people were taking, hungry for the Charanamrita, fasting all day, and then it was this, you know, camphor and so many weird, or some people got sick. So that's what you get physically sick if you take the wrong thing, but chanting Hare Krishna, you'll feel a spiritual happiness which is not dependent on the body. It's not a sense gratification, something special. Why is Krishna's two-handed form considered better than his universal form? Universal form is a material form, how he's the time factor in the material world, where Krishna's form is transcendental, Satchidananda Vigraha. How does one become a spiritual master? You first have to become a disciple. I was in London, Rath Yatra last year, and one guy was watching me, and I'm just non-stop talking to devotees and giving them oil, and people are coming up to me and asking questions and bowing down. He came, "What are you?" I said, "I'm a spiritual master." Then he said, "I want to be that. What do I have to do?" So we got to become a disciple first. You got to take at least 10 years training. 10 years. He's calculating. Okay. So we have a... Actually, everybody, usually it's when the spiritual master leaves, then all the disciples who are qualified, that they can become a spiritual master. But even if the guru decides that, like Kadamba Kanan Maharaj's guru gave him an order to be a guru, even in his presence, also a few other gurus. I gave an order to one of my disciples in Russia, Chaitanya Chandra Charan Das. So they're all spiritual masters. We believe that people are automatically empowered by their guru, but they have to be authorized to execute that service, that they're ready for that. So it's in the ISKCON laws. But the basic thing is be a disciple, learn Krishna consciousness, and then represent your guru. You can anyway, that's for Diksha Guru, but Siksha Guru everyone can become right away. As soon as you can repeat what your guru taught you. What is Srila Prabhupada's spiritual identity that he kept confidential? What is the work of the demigod? Each of them have a different assignment. Some of them are prajapatis, some of them are create progeny in the universe, populate whole planets. Some of them are in charge of different material elements, like Vayu Dev is in charge of the air, Agni Dev in charge of the light. There are so many different kinds. Some are in charge of our bodily functions. The Swini Kumars are in charge of our digestion and system, evacuation system. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you, Hare Krishna to you. Please tell us how to practically increase our faith in Krishna. Associate with good devotees who are very faithful in Krishna. Okay, I don't think I can answer these right now because ordinary animals in whose image are made because covering is only temporary. It's not a question. Our covering is also temporary. Physical, human, animal, insects, all the 8,400,000 species of life have temporary coverings. Thank you for the wonderful class. Today is the disappearance day of Ramananda Rai. Please, can you explain some past names of a person? If you could told me earlier, I would have told that. But he was one of the associates, so one of the 5.5 associates that was with Lord Chaitanya in his final pastimes. How do you remain in the association of devotees and build relations with them? Try the third verse of Shikshastika. When offering food to the deities, what is the reason for removing the skin of the fruits, the apple? Prabhupada called it the packaging. So we don't usually offer the packaging to even if you get some. Although maybe there's some scientists or dietitians say that the skin is good for you, but anyway, we don't usually offer. Sometimes we offer mango with skin, it depends. It is written that in this age, the only way back is to chant the holy name. Chant the holy name, chant it, chant the holy name, chant. There's no other way. Does that mention the time of day you should chant? Why then is it recommended that the best time to chant is early morning? No, and the Shikshastika also says, Nam namakari bahudani dishayava shakti satarapita niyamita swarane nakala, that there's no strict rule about time, place or circumstance. So you can chant any time, but in other places it says that the Brahma Muhurta, which hour and a half before sunrise, is very peaceful, very sattvic, so the mind's more peaceful for chanting and practicing. So thank you very much.